I'm always laughing when I say that thing. After that's what men of God say. All right. So if you're ready, say, the Lord is good, I said the Lord is good. Let's declare the word of God. Want to let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Please greet somebody beside you. Tell the person, understanding has come to you again today. Greet somebody as understanding has come to you. Say congratulations, you are very wise. All right. Greet one more person there. And let's take our seats. The Lord is good. All right, Revelation chapter 2. Let's start reading again from verse 12. We read this many times, but the points are just still there. Last time, I think I ended up giving us the word of the Lord Jesus, which I believe is what he's saying specifically to the church in this season. Remember, all these letters, they have different things in each one of them, but each Christian is supposed to go in and listen to his own message inside the letter. And that's what we are doing. And last time, we looked at what is the word of the Lord Jesus for us in this season. The Lord Jesus has a word for his people in this season. And one thing is that he wants us to depart from ignorance. I said something to us last time. What Jesus expects from us at each point in time is normally not much. Following the Lord is not hard. That's what we sat on last time. What he expects from us each time is not much. What you just need to look all right for is the word of God for this season. When he said, give us this day our daily bread. Now you can look at that as a matter of food, as a matter of drink. But you can also look at it that there is a word for each season that you are supposed to operate by. There is a word for each season. Each time, anything you are going into in life, there is a word for that season. And that is why you must learn to pray that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, there is something we are going to use to conquer the challenges of this season we are stepping into. In the same manner, when God is correcting you in each season of your life, there's just one thing he's asking you to change in. Just one thing he's asking you to modify. I said last time, the problem Christians often have, they spend their energy on things that don't work. Many times they are trying to solve a problem, but they are looking at the fruit, the leaves, all right, the branches, but they are not looking at the root. Most times, what the Lord is looking at is the root. And each time, there is just one thing that the Lord is asking us to change in our lives. For example, he may say to us that you love money, and you may not realize it. You are a good person, but you love money. And at that point in time, what they're just saying that work on your love for money. Now, that love of money is causing many problems in life, which you have been praying about, you don't realize it. But what he's just saying is that the love of money is the root of all these your troubles. Okay? And so if you are able to look inwards and realize that I love money, how do I know whether I love money or I don't love money? In your own situation, God will find a way to explain that to you. But the story I told you of a man I met somewhere, a big businessman, and I met him that day, he said he has come because we had to do some waiting. He said, so that he won't waste his time, he brought a book to read. And that book was Business by the Book, Larry Bucket. That was what he brought there to read. And why was he reading the book? He said, let me be sure I am still serving God and I'm not serving myself. That's it. There are different ways he does it. He wants to know whether you love money or not. He can make you suffer loss and he wants to see how you react to it. You can suffer loss. He wants to know how you are going to react to the loss that you have suffered. All right. That's one of the ways he can use to tell you that you love money. Okay. Sometimes he tells you that you are just selfish. Sometimes he tells you that, look, you are too earthly minded. He wants to point to you sometimes that you are not looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. To you is theory. You are not taking the word serious. Each point in life, there is just one thing he's trying to say to you. Or let me say maximum two things. Usually not too many things. Not too many things. Just telling you this season, focus on this area. All right. Now we saw it last time that what is he saying to the church in this season? He's saying, look, go and learn. Too much ignorance. Go and learn. Fill your heart with revelation. Fill your heart with the knowledge of truth. Fill your heart with the knowledge of Christ. Spend money. Spend time. Let me say that again. Spend money. Spend time. Some things will come to you naturally. Other things will not come to you naturally. To sit down and watch football, it comes naturally. To sit down and watch a movie, it comes naturally. I'm about to say this. One of the major reasons why I don't watch movies much, all right? Maybe in a whole year, I probably watch one or two new movies in one whole year. I don't. Okay, I hardly do. All right? Once in a while, I sit in front of TV sometimes. But even the little I watch, I keep away from African magic, Nigerian movies. You see my reason in a moment. Now, you say, why are you angry with them? It's simple. You tell a story in 4 hours, you could have told in 30 minutes. That's just my reason. Some of those stories, you could have told this story in 30 minutes. Then it will play "To God Be the Glory" at the end of the first 2 hours. And look, with movies, I'm very impatient. Once my friend and I were watching a TV program in Lagos those days, and one guy set another guy on fire. He used a fire thrower, threw fire at the other guy. The old guy caught fire. So he ran away. That was Claude Van Damme. And the next thing, the guy took a turn. The man he set on fire came out to continue the fight. So my friend and I just put on the TV that two of you are not serious. He just said, "Level the idea." We said, "What nonsense." We just took the remark, put off the TV. Say, "What rubbish." Maybe because both of us are doctors and we understood that you can't set the whole man on fire. And he comes back to start fighting. He just said, "What are you?" Now that's it with movies. I don't know. But some people will sit down. That's one of the reasons why I don't like these Nigerian movies. 4 hours to tell this story you could have told me in 30 minutes. It gets on my nerves. But people will sit down there and patiently what? Endure it. Maybe that comes to some people naturally. Now listen, I'm going somewhere. The things that will build up your faith will not come to you naturally. That's what I'm making. Some of these things come naturally. Sit down. Football is exciting. You can sit down there for 2 hours and watch Borussia Dortmund fight Paris Saint-Germain. It's interesting. It can be exciting to sit down and watch the match. All right? But listen to me. When you have to discipline yourself, it means that the thing may not come to you naturally. Sometimes it's happened to me before. Because one thing about messages, especially when you listen to some men, a man like Derek Prince that doesn't tell too many stories, just analyzing scripture verse against after verse, it can get boring, you can fall asleep. You know, it can happen. It gets boring, you fall asleep. So you know what I do sometimes? I literally stand to listen to the message. I stand to listen to it. I'm talking about the discipline, and I'm saying it. Look, this is a call of the Lord for this season. Don't forget, He holds you personally responsible for your life. You are getting my logic here? So you need to, listen, it's important. You need to do what you have to do. Like you were talking about the program that we're just coming from in Oka. There's some people who traveled from other places to come and attend. That's how it's supposed to be. If understanding is coming and you need to get something, go there. There's a man that they said was coming to Nigeria, was it earlier in the year or late last year? I wanted to go. I had not had an important commitment clashing. I said, "No, this thing I need to attend." But good enough, the nurse said he wasn't coming again. I said, "Okay, when is he coming? I'm still watching out for it. If he's coming, even if they say he's coming and the program is in Maiduguri, I'm going. Because it's coming from outside Nigeria. If he can go to Maiduguri, I can go there too." I'm not serious. I'm not joking about that. I'm very serious. Now, I'm not going to say that what we need to do, okay? There was something that David said in Psalm 119. He said, "I have hastened to obey your commandments." Very important. I have hastened. I didn't hear it and sit down till it's convenient. I have made it a matter of hurry. I hastened to obey your word. Not when I have time. I hastened to obey the word. Please, let's get it clear. If you hear that good word is coming somewhere, the Lord is saying to you in this season, rush there. It's obedience to a word. There's too much ignorance in the body of Christ of today. As a matter of fact, we know that the problem is the problem of teachers, pastors, the elders. We don't want to go through that now. That's all over the scriptures. But then even though that's the primary problem, the Lord still holds each person responsible for his or her own life. You have to make up your mind that, listen, I want to go and learn the truth. I don't want to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sometimes when I see people, the way they are tossed, the kind of things they respond to, I just say, how are people this ignorant? But the fact is that they are ignorant. They don't know. But the commandment now is that you cannot remain ignorant. You are jeopardizing your own life. No, we're talking, when we arrived at Accra yesterday, we're talking about a young man that died. And we all agree that, look, that young man died following an old man. I remember the words he used. He said, association killed him. He's still dead. The old prophet, following the old prophet, killed the young man. But he's still dead. The one in the Bible we read about, same thing. So please, take your life into your own hands and deliver yourself. Let's take being a businessman as an example. Do you know the Bible has a ton of things to say about how you're supposed to run your business? It has so many things to say about it. You're not supposed to be just using prayer to run your business. There are divine precepts you are supposed to learn. There are Christians that are very zealous, and because of their zeal for the Lord, they don't even know how to give out of their business properly. They give and give their business into ruin, yes. Some, they don't give at all. And some of the people that do some of these things, they actually think that they are serving God. And that's what pains me. Many of the things we suffer needlessly, we think we are serving God. That's what's painful. And we expect God to do something special. And he's not planning to do any of such things. He said, because what you are doing is wrong. So you have a responsibility to settle down and say, look, I'm running the business. What does your word say about it? And that information will not come to your house. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. You have to go and look for it. You have to go and meet your friends and say, please, can you recommend a book? Do you know any teaching in this area? I want the word of God. I don't want Anthony Robbins. I'm not asking for Steve Covey. I'm asking for God's word. I'm asking for foundation. Some of those people might say things that are sensible, that are good, but they are the pillars. They are not the foundation of Christian business management. No, there are things I read in these scriptures. Can I digress for a moment? As a child of God, you should actually expect spiritual power to work for you. I was studying Matthew chapter 5 into chapter 6. And some things that Jesus will be saying. And I look at this, I said... I don't bring that now, because if I bring them up, your mind will tune to it. You start expecting me to explain further. And that will distract my spiritual concentration on the message for today. So let me not go there. But what I'm going to bring out is that there are things the Lord will say. I said, this is radical. For example, when he says that if they slap you on the cheek, turn the left. No business in the world will teach you that. And there is a way those things apply to your business. When they say, when they sue you for your shirt, give them your jacket also. No business will teach you that. No business principle will teach you that. Only the word of God. How do you apply those things? There are people that are fighting fights that is just over righteousness. And the Lord didn't tell them to fight some of those fights. But you wouldn't know except you get up, all right? Get materials. You're not trying to, like I said, it's not Anthony Robbins here. There are things that a business school will not teach that you need to find out from God's word by prayer and by spiritual books. There is nothing the Lord has not spoken about. And if the Lord speaks words to you, you take those words, I call them the wisdom for your salvation, and you apply them, you will not be able to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There are times people have killed their businesses for the sake of the kingdom. They think, but God is displeased with them. Ajit Lutuno said, when the cry in his heart was to serve God more, he wanted to shut down being a businessman and go into missionary work. But God gave him wisdom. He went to speak to a pastor. And the pastor said, see me later. Next time he came back, the pastor said, listen, the Lord needs businessmen as much as he needs missionaries. That was a rhema word for him. That word went into his heart and his business blossomed. And he became a great giver to the cause of the gospel. He was known for giving up to 90% of his profits. I deliberately said profit. Because he didn't give his capital. He gave up to 90%. Just gave it away. And when he sold his company at a point in time, this was in the 70s, for $75 million. A lot of money. In today's terms, you know, can imagine how much it would be. He gave everything away to mission work. Are you getting my point? So he would have killed that thing early if he was not properly taught. So that's why we all need it, to know God's word in every area. I'm a married man, a married woman. There's what the Bible says concerning how to handle my marriage. And there is a blessing that will never come into my life except I learn it. I'm a parent. There's what the scriptures say about how to raise my children. And there is a blessing that will never come into my life except I learn it. There are many prayers people are praying. The Lord said the answer is plenty, but there's no channel of delivery. Because the precepts of God, you know, they are like the channels that we build so that that thing can flow through into our lives. So we ask God in prayer for breakthrough. The Lord said, okay, yes, I want to give it to you, but where will I pour it into? No, Yinka and I were still discussing yesterday about how people run businesses and there is no way on earth they can make profit. And they are good people, they are not bad people. And the Lord wants to pour abundance into their lives. And he says, but your basket is leaky. If I pour it, you will waste it. One day, one of our brothers said something. I was with him. He does big business, you know, big business. You know, contract of, you know, jobs of hundreds of millions of naira. You know, sometimes this thing, how the cost is in dollars and all of that. When he was talking with me, they had to do one big job somewhere. And by the time he finished giving them his quote, you know, he was bidding for a job. So they wanted him to do it. So the guys came to him and said, listen, this is too high. He said, that's the best I can do. He said, why don't you remove this one? It had to be a tax. I mean, you don't have to pay these taxes. Wait, it is. He said, he told them, no. That's government prescribed tax on this kind of job. We will pay it. It has to be part of my cost. And then they were wondering, like, why? You know, why are you so concerned about government? He said, sorry. Government said, we do this. It's withholding tax. I will give them all their money. Now, he now said something to me afterwards, which for me was so striking. He said something that people don't understand. And, you know, Nigerian law on taxation was not even this strong, you know. All right? They were not enforcing. The laws have always been there, but they were not enforcing. But he said something which struck me after that. He said many businessmen don't even know that by refusing to pay these taxes, you are capping your business permanently. He said because a day will come, you need to bid for a job of $500 million. And they will ask you, have you ever done the job that big? That's when you realize that you can't say yes. Maybe you've done the job as high as $50 million and stuff like that. But you can't claim it because the only proof they recognize is the tax paid on it. So you have the capacity to handle a business of $500 million and it's staring you in the face. But because you didn't want to give government his 15 million naira some years ago, now your business has been capped at a particular level. That was the day I learned. We know we keep learning. Good enough is a Christian. He trusts that God will lift him up somewhere. And part of that, you know, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Because he had a vision, all right, he knew to keep the law of God. And the Bible says, pay your taxes. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm talking about the law. You see, when God wants to pour abundance into our lives, he needs the structure, spiritual structure now already in place. I just give us an example. That many times we don't realize it. We think we are being smart. We think we are cheating somebody else. We think we are being smart. We don't know we're actually cheating ourselves. So sometimes we pray, Father, lift me up, my business. And God says, I will have done this thing for you. It's a small thing for me to do. But there is nothing to carry it. Your basket is leaky. Now, some of these things you will never know except you settle down. Like I know I say all the time, what's the meaning of a Christian fast? A Christian fast is not, Lord, I am hungry. And because of my hunger, you will answer me. That's not Christian fast. That's a Hindu fast. Even the Islamic people, they are very wise. They eat early in the morning. I eat early in the night. Normal working people can handle that fast. And the smartest people when it comes to fasting. They do 28 days fasting, 1 month. And they just from sun up to sundown. That is better wisdom than the one my brethren do. My brethren will say it is 6 to 6. Some people are so crazy. They will do 3 days, no food, no water. Spiritual madness. Some will do 5 days, no food, no water, because they want to be ordained. And you know, they think it is spirituality. Praise God. Praise God. I have not eaten for the last 3 days. How can the dog have? Well, let us pray. Jesus. Jesus. You know, these days, I like the fact that I have enough people to listen to me so I can say anything I want to say. Some people will leave. That's not a problem. They left Jesus too and they continued preaching. They all came back. They did not run away. They all came back. So I like the fact that I can say what I like. You are fasting 5 days dry. You must be a Hindu. The Lord is just tolerating you. Stop that nonsense. What do you talk? When you get home, tell your mother that Pastor Bangi said, I beg in this house, no more 5 days dry fasting. That is called an abuse of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And your body does not belong to you, it belongs to God. If you starve my dog for 5 days, me and you will have problems, though. That don't you know this dog is a living creature? He's hungry too. How much more when me, my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, you starve it for 5 days? The Lord will be calling you, say, oh boy, you want to die for the world? I finished that job on the cross. No vacancy there. That's not Christian fasting. It doesn't improve the efficacy of your prayer. It doesn't let you see visions. You will be dreaming strange dreams. What is a Christian fast? I keep on saying it. It is to settle down and say, Lord, reveal your word to me. Reveal to me the wisdom for my own salvation. I'm starting out in business. I'm starting something. I take time out and go and incubate. That's why it doesn't have to be 3 days, 5 days straight. It can be 2 months daily, of which 1 day of the week is a total day fast, Christian fast. So for the next 2 months, I wake up at 5, I pray, I study the word of God, and I begin to pronounce the word over my business. I begin to pronounce the word over the marriage I'm about to step into. As I begin to pronounce the word over the home I'm starting, then after that I start meditating. The words I have studied, they will rise up and start talking to me. Then I start jotting things down. I started from first day, I may say the next 2 months, every Sunday or every Saturday or one particular day of the week, I won't go out till 2 o'clock. I just stretch this thing I've been doing from 5 o'clock to 7, which I've been doing every day, 5 to 7. I start jotting things down. That day that I keep aside, that's the day that what is the issue of food? Food is a distraction. You can't give me moi with pap and bread. Heavy one like this, and I'll be able to pray. I can't. So before everybody wakes up, I should go and do that. But when I get too hungry, listen to me, people of God. I'm teaching you how to fast as a believer in Christ Jesus. If my stomach becomes a distraction for my... Okay, let me ask you a question. You are going to laugh. Assume you are fasting, and suddenly the urge to poo-poo comes. What do you do? Huh? You go. Why are you breaking the fast? My brethren, sometimes the urge to eat also is the same category. It's disturbing you. You know that kind of thing that you get to the toilet, you knock. Somebody did that. You start doing like this. What are you doing inside there? The one that works for me, at times that I run away from the toilet, I run far. If you run far, your body will realize that, man, this toilet is foul. So sometimes it happens. You know, that what I'm going to say is that their natural urges are not bad things like that. So it gets to that point in which your stomach is now the problem. You want to read Isaiah chapter 11. Get to verse. The Lord. So your wife says, honey, what's going on? So I think my stomach is paining me. Don't worry. Just say, please, baby, can I have 2 slices of bread and a glass of juice, milk, water? That is the effective way to cast out the demon of hunger. Then you say you have broken the fast. You have not broken the fast. Just go back and continue. Your focus is on, I'm planning to start this career. What are the words? What are the things that the Lord has spoken? I start writing them down. That's why I say it may take 2 months. Is that concentration that's Christianity? That is Christianity. Is that concentration that is fasting? That's what is fasting. In that season, you listen to good messages. You read spiritual books. You pray. You declare the word. You wet your destiny with the word of God. That word will speak back to you and start jotting things down. You write things down. You will have ideas. Listen to me. The Lord will communicate ideas to you that people who went into that area before you did not know to use. He said he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. That's when he releases the wisdom he has hidden for you. You write it down. It might take you, like I gave as an example, 2 months, of which one full day of the every week you take from early morning to 12, sometimes to 5. You have a manual. You are writing. When you are done, you will know when to stop because you have enough information. It's called wisdom for your salvation. That is what you will now start acting upon that makes your career, your business, your marriage, your family different from that of other people. God doesn't just bless you simply because you're a Christian. That is a foundation. He also blesses you because your things are different. I don't know what I hear what I said. His blessing is not just, I don't know, I plant like everybody else. My own, the harvest, much more than everybody else. That's part of it. But one major thing he gives you is wisdom that's different from that of everybody else. He gives you revelation different from that of everybody else. That's one of the assignments God has given those who are into business. God says, go and teach the world a new level of righteousness. By the time you are done, people will copy something from you, which will be different, and you improve life for them. Yes, you still have miraculous interventions. Yes, but most blessings of God, now please, this is what I want to say carefully, okay? Most blessings of God are not so miraculous in appearance. I don't know what I get my point. It's a blessing, okay? But it just comes insidiously. It just comes gently, enters into your life. That's why I call it the simplicity of divine intervention. Many times Christians think that you only are just going on the road. Suddenly, wow, a basket of corn came out of the sky. And it's my harvest. Why? I sowed the seed last week in church. That hardly happens. And most times it happens like that. Go and check. A plane carrying produce was flying past. Most times what the Lord does is that he gives you wisdom on how to plant corn when everybody has said it was not plantable. Now you do it 2-3 seasons. Everybody sees that, oh, this thing can actually be done. They now start learning it from you. Most of the times, what he does is his blessing. Don't ever forget it. Say, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. They still labor. But he now teaches them how to labor so that their labor will not be in vain. But they still get up in the morning, buy cement. They still buy bricks. They still make their mortar. Still make their, you know, lay the blocks. You're getting my point here? They will still get all of those things done, but they have a special advantage that is called the wisdom of God. So for them, most things that happen don't come out so, you know, in quotes, super, you know. Not as if, oh, we planted corn yesterday. Today we woke up, praise God. Our corn that we planted has become tomato. Amen. With us as children of God, things are different. Even if we plant corn, we can reap tomato. What happens after I finish planting the corn? I just realized that, I needed tomato. So I spoke to the field, bring forth tomato. Those things, do they happen? Very rarely. Once in 100 years. Once in your lifetime. Strange things happen. They do. I'm not saying they don't. But they're not the habit. And most times, you can't even count on them. And most times, they happen. In fact, that's one the set of messages by Andrew Mack I enjoy. Is that set? In fact, it's the only one I recommend all the time. Getting God's best. He talked about miracles versus blessing. He was talking about how the blessing comes and how you can have miracles. And one of the things he said, let me just try to remember them. If you know some of them, remind me. He said, number one, blessings are constant, they are abundant. Miracles will come and just meet a need. And that's all. Dearly doesn't come and have too much. He said, blessings, they are kind of predictable. Now, let me try to remember the way I remember. But miracles are not. Blessings don't wait for you to get to a crisis. Miracles wait for when you are in crisis. Is that just before you die, something will happen. Do you get my point? That's a miracle. He now says it is always better to live in the blessing than to live by miracles. He said one day he was praying and he was just saying to the Lord, I've not seen a miracle in a very long time. He said, and the Lord asked him, you want to go back to the days of miracles? He said, no, thank you. Why? There was a time he had a lot of miracles. Fuel will finish in his car. It will stop. He will pray, push the car, start it again, and he drive for another, say, 1,500 miles. One day his car, he didn't have enough money to buy antifreeze. Now, for those of us who live in blessed countries like Nigeria, we don't know what's going on. You know, some of the problems people have to solve in some areas, we don't know. So, let me make a long story short. You have to put in your radiator antifreeze. Otherwise, at night, the radiator water will turn to block. Look, ice is... Don't play with water. Ice may look like your friend. Put in an enclosed space, let it freeze. It breaks things. You see the way it does to your bottle in ordinary freezer. One day, Andre Womack, he didn't have money to buy antifreeze. And he woke up in the morning, engine block somewhere in the engine don't break. He was driving, saw water leaking all over the place. He drove that car like that, I don't know for how many weeks. The Holy Spirit did not let the car stop. And the man, why didn't the Holy Spirit allow the car to stop? Because of poverty. The man was too poor. That's how God sustained him. But miracles, one miracle after the other, will keep happening. So one day the Lord said, do you want to go back to those days? He said, lie. I like where I am right now. In the days of blessing, he buys fuel. He doesn't lay hands on the tank. How many of you lay hands on your tank once in a while? You don't need to lay hands on your tank. All this laying hand on tank and all of that is not too, you know, it's not so bad, just that your car is not so good, so you just have to keep on laying hands. The day God gives you plenty of money, and you go down to Costaris and collect one, you collect one brand new, your prayer will be reduced to, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. You start the car and start going. And when you park in the evening, you say, oh, hallelujah. Father, it's a great day. But right now, you wake up in the morning. Kilambogo shentala zozo. I speak to this engine. Doesn't know what Allah, no Allah, I understand. Speak to the engine. Most people don't remember to speak to engines. You just turn your key. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. You turn the car. Then it's time to buy fuel. You enter the filling station, you park. Fill the tank. Hallelujah. When the girl finishes, 9,008, sir. Oh, 9,008. Just count 11,000 and give her. That's your way of saying, Father, we thank you. But before that, tell the game. Put 1,000. Then the girl will bring back out her nozzle from. He said, you don't put her finish. Then you come down. You do wipe that thing before you start there. The girl goes, looks at your girl. This is 1,000 fuel. All this harassment. After you come out, of course, you lay hands, Father, in the name of Jesus, this guy, you get to walk out, Kimute is preaching. The Lord is good. Now, what am I trying to say? So the Lord can work those miracles. But listen to that series. It's very important. I'm recommending it. Try and get that message. Blessings versus miracles. And the woman will show you the difference between the two. But what God wants us to live in is in the blessing. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
yeah, he wants us to live in the blessing. And living in the blessing, what happens is that he gives us wisdom. He teaches us what other people don't know. You're getting what I'm trying to say here? So I've thought of this to let you know that there's a word the Lord has kept for you. And based upon that word, precepts, promises combined, he will use those things to produce abundance of blessings in your life. But that thing will not find its way to your house. You go out to go and look for it. That's a Christian fast. So that booklet that you put together, in all those days, in all those weeks of fasting. You see what I'm saying here? All those ways, days of waiting upon the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving, in concentration, all of those days of fasting, it gives you the wisdom for salvation. I'm giving you the word of the Lord Jesus for this season again. Don't step into any new thing without it. Did you hear what I said? That is, you tell me, please, I'm starting a farm. I want to tell you, where's your book? Say, what? Don't start yet. That's my next word. Take a month, get your book. And I don't mean things you jotted down from sagacity concept. You know sagacity? Yenka has taught you how to do business. That one are business. I'm talking about things that you brought out from the bowels of the spirit by yourself. When you want to talk to somebody like Yenka for sagacity to help you put down business plan, you give that to him. That your plans must be based upon these I have written. Don't give me any plan that deviates from this one. If it looks through your plans, it looks like things are not exactly the way. Maybe you think things should be, can be a little bit different. He's supposed to come back to you and say, I disagree with you here. Then he say, give me a day or two. Let me pray. It's possible you made a mistake. But you are trying to build according to a pattern shown to you on the mountain. That's what happened to Moses. God said, before you build this tabernacle, cram the pattern I showed you on the mountain and make sure everything fits to it. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain here? Yes. We cannot the general word of God. It's important. But there must be a specific word for every venture you are stepping into, which is not based on general knowledge, but based on things you derived out of the prayer time, the fasting time. That's what we call Christianity. Practical Christianity. There are many things that will have come. People, like I was saying at the beginning, people say, how do you give from your business? You find out at such times. You make up, you get to know those things ahead of time. That's what Jesus said when he said, meant when he said, who is it that wants to build a tower that will not first sit down and count? Again, I'm saying this is the word of God to us for this season. We must have what? Knowledge. We must have what?
Knowledge.
And one more thing, it doesn't come to us. We go looking for it. Actually, it is hidden. We're supposed to search it out. So back to, we're reading, right? Verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum, right? The one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And that you hold fast my name and did not deny my face, even in the days of Antipas. Verse 14. But I have a few things against you because... He said, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam. And what did Balaam do? He kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. In the same way, some hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. That's verse 15. I'm summarizing now because I've read this a number of times. In 16, he says, therefore repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now to him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira writes, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds, and your love, and faith, and service, and perseverance. Actually, you should take time and ask yourself, how much love do I walk in? Faith, service, and perseverance. You should always ask those questions. And I know that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bond servants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on the bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. Verse 23, and I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things, so-called, which are actually things of Satan, the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I put no other burden on you. I told you, the burden of the Lord Jesus is not heavy. that they just keep away from these deeds and you're okay in this church. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. Now notice verse 26. To him who overcomes and who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I have also received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And I said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's just stop reading here. And let me just say a few things, then we'll close. Now, we have been reading this for some time. Jezebel is not just a woman. That is application now. It's a spirit. All right? And what is it? It puts something before our faces different from the Lord Jesus. It may put success before us. We may be so focused on healing. We may be so focused on material prosperity that we don't realize that these are things the Bible calls added blessings. The only things we are supposed to put in front of our eyes is the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and no one else. Jesus crucified, the resurrected Jesus, the Jesus that is seated on the right hand of the Father in majesty. We focus on him. Anything that takes us away from that focus is Jezebel. Please, I hope you get the point here. Now, but what I want to bring out from here, which I've been trying to do for some time now, is the reward he promised these people in these churches. The first one, he said, I will give the person a shining stone, a white stone, a brilliant stone. And that signifies, now this is how I understand it, it's like a crown, you know, like a gem in a crown. That's what he's giving him. And it says a new name he also give the person. That name will be on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. Now when he came to the church in Thyatira, he told them a similar thing using different typology now. He said, I will give the person who overcomes authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he said, this authority will be given to the person just like I also received authority from my Father. Now, I want you to understand the authority that Jesus received. The Bible says that because he was obedient even to the point of death, Paul was writing to the Philippians, God therefore highly exalted him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee will what? Will bow. Now, why did he receive that? He received that authority because he was obedient to the point of death. Let me say this again. Every trial, because we are looking at the words of the Lord Jesus to different churches, every trial that you come into in life, every trial is supposed to qualify you to receive authority. Did you hear what I said? Every trial in life qualifies you to receive authority. Every challenge qualifies you to receive a particular level of authority. That's a matter of fact. Now listen to this. Job was tempted. He lost a lot of things. Now do you know that everything he lost is small, infinitesimal, compared to everything that came into, not just his life, but into the earth because of Job? The fact that a whole book was written because of him, how do you put a price on that? The fact that I'm talking about Job now, a whole book, I said, was written because of him. Because the fact that somebody right now is preaching in Ghana is making reference to Job. And that person right now is preaching in South Africa is making reference to Job. Somebody is preaching right now, even in Egypt, making reference to Job. And that person is in the United States, different parts of that country, in Russia, all right? Even in Afghanistan, in Australia, and they are preaching today. Just like I'm talking about Job, they are also talking about Job. Many books, literally thousands of books have been written on Job. How do you qualify that? How do you qualify that? I can assure you of one thing. There are many Jobs that nothing was written about them because they failed their tests. In life, be careful how you run away from challenges. Be very careful. Because what God is doing is that he's qualifying you so that he can give you authority. I said before, that white stone, a name, anytime you see the word name in scriptures, it's not just identity. Because we read concerning the Lord Jesus in that Philippians chapter 2. Let me start from verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, verse 7, taking the form of a bond servant. I'm jumping. It says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, verse 9, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him, what?
Name.
What did the Lord bestow on him?
The name.
He bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the heaven, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, what's the point we are making from here? You will see that when you see the word name, it's referring to rank and authority in life. It's referring to the ability to speak a word and it will come to pass. It's referring to the ability to wield authority on God's behalf. So when the Bible says that he will give, when Jesus was speaking there to that church, I will give the person a white stone with a name written on it. He was saying the same thing, all right, that he said to the other church, that I will give the fellow authority. And I'm emphasizing to us today that what God is actually looking for in life is those who can take authority on his behalf. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. Listen, those days when we were taught, you know, as young believers, we assumed that all those things that were talked about belonged to every believer. All the things you see, sometimes issues of authority, they are the things that God called us to. Now, please follow me what I'm trying to say. They are the things that he called us to. After God calls, you now qualify yourself by working with him for those things to become effective in your life. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying here. Yes, let me explain what I'm going to say here. That is, for example, those days, let me give an example now. If two of two shall agree concerning anything, you know, and then so we just thought that small boys like us will agree and decide who is the governor in the state. Now, are we being superfluous? No. That's actually Christianity. That's actually Christianity. That you get to a point that children of God will agree and decide who is governor in the state. Except that there are three boys in UNEC campus, they are deciding who is governor in Enugu state. There are three boys in IMT deciding who is governor in Enugu state. There's a church deciding. So after a while, do you know what you find? There becomes a lot of disorder in the realm of the spirit. So even though two of us in IMT thought we were in agreement, two of us in SU were not in agreement with two of us in IMT. And the three of us in UNEC are not in agreement with the five of us in UNN. And that's student level. We're not even talking about the daddies and the mommies. Now you find out something. Yes, even though that's what God called us to, but he doesn't hand our authority out like that. It is the same thing he said to Abraham, walk before me and be what? And be perfect. That's when you'll be able to open your mouth and decide who will be president, who will be governor. Are you getting my point? Yes. You know what God expects from those little boys in UNEC? Use that prayer for what? SUG election. Use it for SUG election first. Endure trials. Believe me, most of the times, all he will give you is the authority to speak on things like the election in your association, you know, departmental association. You know? You hear, maybe what do you call it? Medical Students Association. You know? All the student association. Use it there. And before you can even use it there, listen to what I'm going to say here. There are things you will pass through as a student that will qualify you to be able to speak on such things in prayer. For example, you may have to fail an exam, even though you know the subject. Why? Because one day they made you class rep. And you made it clear to your lecturer that the thing he's asking you to do cannot be done because it's against your faith. So like the church in Smyrna, he sent into tribulation for one semester. You are getting my point. And you want to say, no, I'm going to protest this to the dean. And the Holy Spirit says, when they slap you on the right cheek, turn the other one. So you carry one curse over out of persecution. What you don't realize is that you are being qualified to receive a stone with a name written on it. So that in that department, a time will come, deans will be afraid to disagree with you. It's not just because you went to church and said, I'm the child of a king. In this department, anything that I say is what will hold water. God said, what have you passed through in this department? How have you purified yourself in this department? There are temptations that are there that you need to overcome. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Yes, there are temptations that are there you need to overcome. And let me say this quickly. Do you know that in every aspect of life, God is looking for people that will be able to hold authority for him? Let's get this point. That's where we are going. Listen. Jesus is my Lord. Let's understand. These issues we are going through in life is not to say, okay, me too, I've built a house. I have enough money to train my children. No, what we are going for, you get me, is authority like was given to Joseph. Whatever be the Egypt, we may have to run. Do you get my point? That is why, listen, if your eyes, all right, if your eyes are focused on that kind of thing, you know what you do. I mean, when you are taking trials, when you are enduring tribulation, you know where you are going. You realize that your voice is not just strong in the realm of the spirit just because you're a Christian. No, it's because you have shown to God that you're a trustworthy servant of his. You are one that has overcome. That's why you see Jesus kept on saying, to him that overcomes, to him that overcomes. Authority is never given to people who have not yet overcome. Yeah. Authority is not handed out because you read the Bible. It's not handed out just because you like authority. It is handed out because you overcame. So every time you don't overcome, you lose power. You lose spiritual power. And let's not forget what I've been saying before. Life has different spheres. Life has different aspects. God is building his children up to be able to take their own place. Each person take your place in your own area of life. We have complaints, all of us, about like a country like ours. Oh, power is not constant. Oh, roads are bad. Oh, this one is not good. Oh, police is not good. Hey, army did this one. Oh, this one, civil service is like this. Because it will remain like that until I have enough people in different places. People who can open their mouths and wield authority for me. People who have received their stone. People who have a name written on that stone. People who I have given authority to rule over the nations. That's what I want to bring up from those two portions. Before we continue. Now, what the Lord is saying is that, listen, my guys, there are times I know money is hard, and then you pray for plenty, I don't give you plenty. Not because I don't know how to bring out plenty, but I don't short circuit what I'm doing in your own life. I know what I'm doing. I told one of our brethren once, I said, listen, you know what the Lord is saying to you? Oh, finish talking. Now, right now, you don't need more money. You need to learn the spiritual lessons on how to manage the one you have right now. Do you know there are things you will do with money? And God said, minus one, in the authority plan. Put that guy there for the next 2 years. And what I want to say will sound funny. It's just maybe something you bought, you're not supposed to buy. And the Lord says, you think you must own this? Why do you think you must own it? Because everybody has it. Now, it's not what you bought that's his problem. It's the fact that you do not yet have the resoluteness of spirit to stand against what is popular. You are praying, Lord, give me 100,000 naira. He says, no. You fast, you pray, you do everything. You sow seed, harvest your seed, sow it back, you know. At the end of everything, the money you get is 15,000. And I know what I'm telling you. And what the Lord is saying simply is this. I know what you want to do with the 100,000. I want you to manage 15,000. Listen to this. I am watching your joy level, your management capabilities on that 15,000 naira. I am not bringing you 100,000. It's called temptations. Now, please, I hope you're following the fact that you see, if you thought you had troubles, you don't know what God is doing in your life. That's why you think you have troubles. If you think you had challenges, you don't know exactly what God is doing. That's why you were worried about those challenges. Many times what God is doing is definitely far away from what your eyes are on. The man praying for that money, God said, I have made up my mind, you will not get the money. I want to see whether, interesting, whether in the midst of your lack, you will be like the Macedonians. You know, when the Macedonians, the Corinthians had money. The Macedonians did not have. Yet, they gave generously. Paul testified out of their poverty. You are getting my point here? And listen, for Paul to write about it, it was noteworthy. That is, when Paul saw the offering they gave for the church that was suffering in Jerusalem. Paul said, who gave this offering? They said, the church in Macedonia. Where did they get it from? That means that there were things those men went to sell. There were things that they thought was valuable, they gave away. They said, no. People are suffering, we need to give. And listen, why didn't God give them plenty of money before they needed to start doing that? I'll tell you, it's simple. Because he's saying that what you will give at such times will not fulfill the test I'm passing you through now. Let me say something again. You know, sometimes I sound like if I'm criticizing doctrines. I'm not trying to be critical of doctrines, please. I'm trying to balance things. A church like that church in Macedonia, God will now say, all right, fine. I see these people, they know how to manage resources. Give them abundance such that the type they have never seen before in their generations. You know, somebody will now say, you see, it is good to do what? Give. When you give, abundance comes. Then they start giving and they are failing the tests. Do you know why? Because their own giving is not like that of the Macedonians. When the Macedonians gave, nobody told them it is because abundance was coming. That's why, listen, you don't just copy people's acts. You don't know the test God is passing them through. You don't know the test they passed by those acts that you are now copying. That's why, again, remember, read scriptures. Study the word of God and take them out to pray for your own life. Each time that God speaks to you, this is an area where you need to change. What he's saying is that that is what is hindering the authority I wanted to give to you. Let me say this to you again. Anytime the word of God is coming, the word of correction, he's telling you this is the hindrance concerning your white stone. You know, many people are looking for money, are looking for abundance. God said, you don't get it. Why are you looking for money? You want to buy a new car. You want to carry your wife and children and travel somewhere. Is that not all? Why? What am I trying to give you? I'm giving you the ability to make people. I don't know what I get my point. That is, I'm not giving you money. I'm giving you the ability to be the maker of men. That a time will come that anybody that knows you, the person is made, in quote. You know, there's almost, look, listen. Now, let's take a lesson from the fig tree. Let's talk. Use physical things as an example. All right? Those days, I was told that one favor M.K. Abiladi used to do for people. He was a generous man. One favor he used to do for people those days is, good afternoon, chief. He now asks you, what are you doing now? I finished NYC 2 years ago. I'm just trying to get a job. You're trying to get a job? He just takes his card, writes on the back of it. Say, go and make the MD of Shell. Tell him I sent you. To the chairman of Nigerian Breweries. All you need to do is be patient enough to see the man. Bashono said, as you see you, sir. And he looks at the card, he sees Bashono's signature at the back. He employs you before he decides what you will do. And you know, there are men like that till today. That's what I mean when I say sometimes God is making men into makers of men. God is making men into makers of men. So sometimes, now, please, like I said, that's a lesson from what? The fig tree. We're just using physical things to explain some spiritual principles. There are people that God is trying to put in strategic places like that in life, and they think that the problem they have in life is money. God says, no, I'm taking you to a place. You know, let me give you as a preacher as an example. I thought about this, came to my mind over the last few weeks. Listen, when you're a preacher, walk on hand. You know, Nigeria right now, we have a lot of respect for ministers of the gospel. Good or bad, but we have a lot of respect for ministers of the gospel. We have a lot. And God knows what influence we carry. So before he releases certain degrees of power into our mouths and into our hands, he has to test us because Nigerians can corrupt you. What do I mean by that? I don't know about America. I don't live there. But in Nigeria, if you tell somebody till today in Nigeria, if a policeman stops you and you call yourself pastor, even if you are lying, he lets you go most of the time. Unless that day you're a criminal, they have to catch you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's a matter of fact. Now, because of that, now, please, what I want to say, it sounds critical again, but I'm just trying to give warning. That is why it's so easy for us preachers to manipulate people to part with their money. Yeah, people respect us a lot. They do. They do. They will shake you with two hands. Women twice your age will genuflect to greet you. They don't do it for their husbands. They do it for you. You see people that talk roughly to everybody in the office when they see pastor. Wicked boss in the office. He will bow and greet you with two hands. And there are those who actually will kneel down completely for you, like your friend will kneel down for you all the time. Listen to me, that's a very powerful influence. Now, the Lord has to train you so that thing doesn't get into your head. Many people fail that all the time. That's why their ministries will close. Why? Because God said, if I give you the kind of power I planned, this one, the name pastor alone, is what's driving you mental like this. Suddenly, you can't cross the road again. That's a man of God that can't be crossing the road. One day I went to the bank, years ago. One guy asked me, what are you doing in the bank? Not today. What I'm telling you is nothing less than 5 years ago. He said, what are you doing in the bank? I was looking at him like, what kind of question is that? He said, sir, you come to the bank? So, you know, I didn't get the question. Yes, I have business here, so I have come. He said, you come to the bank, you don't have boys that do all these kind of things, that you're not supposed to be coming to the bank. Is that what your problem is? I've been finished my transaction. The guy was, he was alarmed that, how can a whole man of God come to the bank? That's the amount of, you know, regard he had for the office. And sometimes he gets into our heads. We'll now say, I can't go to the bank. I can't cross the road. I can't. Do you get my point? He starts getting to your head. And God starts looking and said, I know your deeds, your pride, and haughtiness of heart. And that the humility you had at the beginning, you don't have it anymore. And you know what he's saying? That is the obstruction between you and the next level of ministry I want to lift you into. This letter to the churches, listen to me. The Lord Jesus is saying something simple. Anytime you see something at the end that I'm promising people, that's where I wanted to take all of them to. But the things I'm correcting them concerning are the reasons why they are not getting there. One of the things I said last time, I was trying to build up with it. I think I've gotten there now today. One of the things I said the other time is that, you see, why do people depart from God? Why do they follow other gods? Why do they follow Jezebel? It is simple. It is because Jezebel promises what God is slow in bringing. How do Christians prosper financially? Listen to me, especially the businessman. There are a number of things. One, prayer. You learn to pray. Two, you learn sound Bible principles to operate everything you are doing by. And three, patience. Let me go by it again. You want to prosper? One, you pray. Two, you learn what? Sound Bible principles. And three, what? Patience. I don't know any other one. I went to preach once in Abba. And I finished preaching. Was Yinka and I went that day. After the service, we're outside the restaurant eating. You know, they fed us before we started coming back to Enugu. One of the young men that was you know, serving us, you know, keep helping us around, one of the ushers, the protocol people in the church. And I said, he wants to talk to me. I said, what is it? He said that when I was preaching, I said there are two. That there are some, no, he said I knew some keys of prosperity. I said, yes. I was talking about the keys of the kingdom and stuff like that. He said, please, sir, can you just give me two of the keys? You know, it came like Nicodemus. Sir, can I just have two of those keys? I don't know. You know, sometimes people ask you questions like that. You just, you know, of course, you pray. There are many keys, all right? In fact, I taught a series, Foundations and Pillars of Financial Prosperity. So which one? The boy wants two. I needed to give him how many? Two. I can't remember the first one I gave him. But remember the second one. The second one was what? Patience. And I remember his face went down a bit. He's like, okay, that's not what I mean. I mean the one that will produce money tomorrow. So later when I told his pastor, one of your boys needed keys of prosperity. Say which one of them I described. He said, don't mind, the boy is very stupid. And the guy needs to cool down. I didn't even know when I said, oh, boy, what do you need? Patience. Now, I'm going somewhere. Now, Jezebel Jezebel's principle is that he'll come and say, come and invest in Bitcoin, in Flash Coin, in Share Coin, Zendel Coin, Zender Coin. Which other coin do they have now? Which other coin? Swiss Coin, Gold Coin. What do you call it? Gold Coin. Which other one?
Bitcoin.
I mentioned Bitcoin. Bullion Coin. There are all kinds of coins. And last week, I don't know how many of you, Bishop, I know I sent to you. I forwarded something I read on BBC on these virtual currencies. And somebody was warning that they started again. Another bubble is building. Bitcoin crossed $5,000 a unit last week. And somebody wrote and said they've started again. Another bubble is building. You know what Jezebel will do? Jezebel will bring Bitcoin to church. As I explained to Christians, invest in Bitcoin. Amen?
Amen.
Gold is the thing that the Bible says endures. Our faith is compared to what? Gold. Amen? Amen. Gold is not like earthly currency. Any Christian that wants to invest for tomorrow will invest in what? Gold. This gold that brings out the case. Anybody that registers under me. Now, you know, pastors are very funny. My friend in their church, when they were doing MMM. No, there was one beside MMM. Give me one name. It will be the one. I think it was Ultimate Cycler. There's one that one. No, one before that one. Anyway, in their church, I think one of those things, helping her, one of those things, yeah. The pastor of my friend's church was bragging. Some of you are still sitting down there. Last week, I made 80,000 naira. Last month, my total income was 800,000 from the pulpit. My friend's children went to be harassing her. Mommy, you know, Kinekon, all the youths have joined. Banky, I gave them the money for the interest of peace. I said, my sister, next time that is not peace. Don't give such monies. You tell them, children, take your eyes away. These are teenagers. They're not small children. They're big, a big boy, a big girl. You understand? Of course, by that time, the whole thing had collapsed. By the time we're gisting the gist, the whole thing had collapsed. And the pastor had gone away with millions of naira that church members contributed towards. Are you getting my point? Quick money. Let me say to you again, as a child of God, hate quick money. Don't ask which one is safe. Once it is quick money, say, I don't like it. So if you invest 1,000, dude, I'm telling you, within 3 weeks, your money will be 5,000. I'm telling you, in 1 month, you buy a V-boot. That's what my friend and I used to say those days. Listen to me. Once they talk to you like that, say you are not interested. Now, what we used to think is that be careful that they don't run away with your money. Get in early, get out early, right? Then we learn that that's not the will of God. The will of God is don't do it at all. Now, the new revelation is that hate quick money. Even if it is safe, even if it will never collapse, say if it's quick money, I have a commandment from the Lord Jesus that I must hate it. Somebody asked a question in the Oka just now. Say, what is it about? What does the Bible say about, against them? Lottery or gambling? I said, listen, of course, betting. I hope if you are here, I want to pray for you. Any day you download Bet Niger, Niger Bet, give me another one. Any device you download of any of those apps to, in the name of Jesus who called me to ministry, that device will spoil within 24 hours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Any day you gamble, that week you will jam something, your toe will fracture in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Deliver these young people. If you ever bet God's money that he gave to you through your parents or through small business that you did and you earned legitimate money, if it goes to betting, pools betting, lottery betting, sports betting, Bet Niger, Niger Bet, Nine Bet, whatever it is, that week police will detain you.
Yeah.
For something you did not do. Your scripture will be, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your word. What are you doing betting as a child of God? That's an accursed practice. It's a demonic practice. You invoke financial curses into your life. You will not have peace of mind. Do you know the truth? You see this American lottery, $500 million, $100 million. You seen it? Most of the people commit suicide. You think money is cash, currency? It's a spirit. Betting. I said, what kind of rubbish is that? Pools betting, sports betting. There are cursed practices. Those who get involved in them are never blessed. Eventually, they always return poor. You must never love quick gain. You must never love quick money. Your desire must be to gather by labor. Bless labor. Say, God, bless the work of my hands, not the betting of my phone or whatever it is. Your prayer must be, Lord, bless the work of my hand. Open doors for me that I can use my skill to bless people. If anybody makes quick money and it sustains the money, go and check it. It's been making slow money for a long time. I don't know what I hear what I said. You see a man today, he made one, did one business. Boom! You didn't know him before. After a short while, the guy is now worth hundreds of millions. After 5 years, he's not dead. He's still now worth much more hundreds of millions. Go and check that day he made that first hundreds of millions that's impressing you. Trace his life back. You will see that he's been making 1,000 here, 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, 15,000, 100,000, 1 million, 2 million. But suddenly it went from 2 to 100. What you call overnight. Have you heard the saying before? For every overnight success, the night has been long. They call the success overnight, but this night has been very long. By the time T.D. Jakes, my very good example, became internationally renowned that time, T.D. Jakes had been preaching for a long time. One day, his children were there when creditors came to collect the furniture in their house. You know what they call furniture? Say, your children, get away to outside, and people were carrying your furniture. They said, Daddy, Daddy, thief. They are not thieves. We are the thieves. We could not pay them. He had pastored, if you see some of the videos, some of those, all those old videos are on YouTube. You see him looking very old when he was young. Now he's looking young that he's old. One day I was in my house, as a kid, that time as a kid was raining. We're there. We're standing and watching TV. And then the pastor, as a kid's pastor was speaking in the video. He said, you have to follow God and do this. You know, the way we pastor like to speak very, very strong. You know, you bless the Lord and do bless the higher. And you will be like an overnight success like my son Asu. The man of God was standing with me, didn't know when he shouted. He said, what kind of overnight success? What kind? I know Asu Ekiye. I know Asu Ekiye. Asu Ekiye is not an overnight success. He was shouting there. He said, Asu Ekiye told me that the Lord said I have to build choirs in 10 churches before he blesses me. Asu Ekiye, he said, no, it's not an overnight success. We're in school together. The man will fail the exam because he's playing guitar. He said, what? You heard a man yesterday. You understand? It doesn't mean he was born yesterday. From yesterday to today, just suddenly he said, the man don't blow. Oh boy, the guy don't blow the fire for a long time before he explodes. That's a digression. So listen to me. You must never love quick gain. If they say invest you, tomorrow you multiply your money, say I'm not interested. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, you can never prove these principles wrong. They are spiritual principles. Anybody that loves money will never have enough. Anybody that loves quick gain, his heart will be broken by losses. That is a matter of fact. If they give you money you cannot hold, it, you will collapse under the weight. You will collapse under the weight. You will collapse under the weight. Money has glory in it. When I say glory now, I'm not talking about glamour. I'm talking about weight. The word for glory in the Hebrew word, it means weight. When the Bible talks about that's why in New Testament, Paul now talked about the weight of glory. Because glory is weighty. Don't think you know, like we're saying, okay, don't think you can't crazy. And they give you money you can't handle, you go mad. Your father will talk, you hang up on him. Say, why am I punishing that boy? He has money. If he was poor, he wouldn't have dead hang up on his seniors. Oh, Apostle came with you. What are we talking about? We're explaining. Please let me close. I'm closing in the next few minutes. I was explaining that, you see, is that quick thing that Jezebel's spirit tried to put before us. And that is the problem. What we don't realize is that what would that take our eyes away from the way by which God said Christians should progress financially? Unconscious that without realizing it, we have short-circuited the plan of God through which He would have given us the bright, that is the white shining stone. Jezebel's spirit says, don't wait. God said, if you had waited, a time will have come that the things you are struggling for, you will call them to be with your words. I don't know whether I get my point here. God said, if you had waited, if you are looking for financial breakthrough, a time will come. People will be bringing it to your homes. You'll be the one saying, I'm not interested. A time will have come. They will say, we want to situate a new business in Enugu. A factory worth all this amount of money. They say, who is the man of integrity, the woman of integrity we can talk to? The Lord said, that time will have come that everybody will have been mentioning your name. But Jezebel has told you it's not necessary. Invest in Bitcoin, coin, and make money quickly. And I see pastors of the churches using their church members to enter pyramid schemes so that they can rise. And God said, if you had just been patient, a time will have come. These boys will have been competing to dash you money on a monthly basis. Now you have short-circuited your destiny. Yes, you got the money now, but your ministry will not endure. You got the money now, but both you and these men will not be blessed. All of you will keep on struggling. If you had endured, if you will have repented of the works of Jezebel, if you will have refused the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, are you getting my point? If you will have just walked away from the doctrine of Balaam, it will cost you. Listen, obeying God costs people. You will be in a church where they promote people, they will not promote you. Your friends will buy cars, you will still be trekking. That's what obedience does. The Lord said, do you know what I'm doing? I'm preparing people that can receive a white stone. Who can receive authority? Like I was saying at the beginning, along the line, as my illustration. It gets to a time, in a state like this, I plant two of them inside there. And one day they get to know each other. And they say, election is coming up. Who will be our next governor? This man wants to run for office. This man wants to run for office. We don't like any one of them. Let us pray that God will not let these people come in, but will bring us somebody better than them. And the Bible says nobody knows the name apart from the person that holds it. That is, nobody will know those people praying that prayer. PDP will just scatter one day. APC will scatter. Then an unknown person from somewhere will come up and replace the two of them and become the governor. And you will never know who made that decree. And God said, in the similar fashion, nationwide, I will raise people up that I will give them authority. When that was happening, I put my children through a little bit of trial. They disappear. Countries had, they vanish. Me too, I need to build a house. They get involved with Jezebel's immoralities. And this ministry person go do. I ain't good day here. Person, I bet my children too, they grow and they start preaching doctrines they did not believe in. Listen to me. People have preached doctrines. I know some of them. These are doctrines they never preached before. But they preach the truth, preach the truth. You know the problem with the truth? You know they bring money. Oh, listen, start a church, be preaching the truth. Who will give you 1 million naira? If you need a million, you know what you will do? You will have to go and fast and pray. And God will say, why are you asking for money? What do you want? Lord, I just want peace of mind. In Jesus' name, receive peace of mind. Go. You, after fasting for 1 month, you return. You say, your wife will say, honey, how was the prayer? It was good. Did the Lord answer? He answered. What did he say? He said, go home. He didn't give you money. He said, salvation done to the day is evil thereof. So he gave me 10,000 that may I give you. But honey, we asked for 1 million naira. He said, he gave me 10,000. Should we disobey him? Next Sunday, go and say, what do you preach next Sunday? I wanted to preach the Lord is faithful. Thank you. Happy school fees week. No, you have happy new month. Last week they said, happy school fees week. School fees week, nothing. You will pray. You now go to the school and say, I'm a man of God. So the proprietor will say, so? Just give me 1 week. The Lord will come through. Now leave there. Say, Lord, you know why I said 1 week? I first put your name there. I say, I'm a man of God. Let's disgrace ourselves. So, 1 week, he said. And when the Lord wants to do us in, On Thursday, no money will come. On Friday, you see, by 12 o'clock, you go to the school. Good afternoon, ma. Oh, good afternoon, sir. Oh, pastor, you are here. Yes, you know, I said Friday. Yes, I saw your message. Thank you very much. Ah, yeah, you saw my message. Ah, thank God. Who brought the message? He said, yeah, one of your men came there that they said you sent them. Yes, this is your receipt. They just give it. Ah, thank you, ma. Just said, I want to be sure that the money was delivered. Thank you. That is God, they do like Andy Womack. Last moment. And like, God, okay, thank you. Now, what am I going to say? That's preaching the truth. Put you on edge. People will dare and say, oh, this pastor's new car, 8 million naira. And you tell somebody, let me push this once more. But you know the truth? We're not doing this because we want cars, but a time will come. You wouldn't know what to do with those cars. They'll just be an inconvenience. Say, where did you park that one? Say, park it outside. There's no space in the compound. Like if you mistakenly like a car, you will get it in a month. After a while, you close your mouth, say, I know they talk, say, I like something again. Why? Because God has given you what? A name. Jezebel couldn't grab them. But listen to me, they endured. They are the ones that Jesus would say, they overcame. So I gave them authority the same way I received it from my Father. Know what that means? They will lay down their lives also. I don't know what I get the point. Before Jesus got it, what happened? He was obedient even to the point of death. He was obedient until it appeared as if his business was going to close. He was obedient until it appeared like nothing will work. Then God now highly exalted him. Are you getting my point here? Please, because of time, let's just stop it here. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. And thanks thanking God for every challenge he has passed you through. That's the point. Start thanking the Lord for every challenge he has passed you through. Just know that these things are qualifying you to receive your authority. These things are qualifying you to receive your own stone. Say to the Lord, I will overcome. I will endure. I will overcome till the end. Say to the Lord, I will overcome. I will endure. I will be faithful till the end. Let me tell you the meaning of faithful to the end. It means you are ready to be faithful forever. The Lord will determine when that end will be. The Lord will determine when that end will be. You just be faithful forever. Say, Lord, I will be faithful forever. Say, Lord, again, I reject anything apart from the image of Christ being in front of me. Say, Lord, I hate quick gain. I hate quick gain. Say, Lord, I reject anything apart from the image of Christ. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.